Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike DeTillia, along with Mike Hall, Steve Geller, Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Deuce McAllister.
Deuce.
You've had about a half an hour to take a look. Well, you knew who they were going to play, just didn't know when. Your thoughts early on how the schedule breaks down for the black and gold?
Early on thoughts? Tough.
I said the same thing, man.
They didn't do you any favors as far as opening, starting having two games on the road. And even though, you know, I understand that, hey, one of those teams, they have a new head coach. Hey, they still have that quarterback odor in Baltimore. But even when you talk about just playing Detroit, you know, one of the things that you always worry about when you talk about training camp, are you being physical enough? Are you being physical enough? Well, you play two teams that are probably the two most physical teams in the NFL. I'm intrigued to see how that changes the approach, or if it changes it at all for the Saints as far as training camp is concerned. I mean, because those are going to be physical matchups. And I can tell you right now, if you can't stop the run or at least the play action to be able to make teams pass those two teams, it's going to be a very, very difficult game.
Deuce, the other thing that jumps out early on with me is, okay, Raiders, Falcons, Vikings, those games, you know, you're not facing any whippersnapper at quarterback there. And then week six, the Giants, because of Jackson Dart and what we saw last year, will Malik Nabers be healthy by that time? That week six game to me jumps out early as a critical game, I think, for both teams. And you face the first gunslinger quarterback past week one and two.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, though, I want to see how they progress. You know, with the news that Malik needed another cleanup surgery, I've been there, done that, I had it. And so it's basically the scar tissue that builds up. So he had to get that kind of removed to give him full range of motion in the knee. You know, for me, I look at him starting on PUP. Yeah. But I don't think that by then that he will – he should be available by then. But I don't know if he's humming on all cylinders. And then how much has Dart's game changed? You know, you have a new head coach. They want a guy to kind of protect you. They want you to kind of protect yourself as far as running. Has that changed any? And so for me – by then, you should kind of know who you are defensively and offensively. You know, we'll kind of have to just wait and see what you have. But on paper, early, it does look intriguing.
Deuce, the other games, Mike and I were talking about this week 11 where you're on the road against the Bears, and then you're on the road the next week against the Bengals. You're back home, but you play the Packers. They pretty damn good. And then you face this champs. On the road, Carolina Panthers. That four-week stretch there, schedule makers didn't do you any favors on that one either.
No, I mean, but when you go into games like that, the question is, can I get a split?
Yeah.
You know, some opponents like that, can I get a split? One is an uncommon opponent, and so that's Cincinnati. You know, what has their defense done? Have they gotten any better? You know, offensively, they can put up a ton of points. You know, the same thing with Chicago. They should be better offensively just because this year, too, with Ben Johnson, and so it becomes, can you get a split out of some games like that? And then, like you said, you know, the Packers will be a tough matchup. You know, you look at the quarterback, you look at the NFC South. I mean, you were able to sweep them, but they want some revenge at some point, that being Carolina, on you. And so, for me, at that point, 2-2, 3-1, 4-0, man, you're playing with, you know, you're rocking and rolling. But can you go 2-2? Can you go 3-1? Can you get the 4-4? And so that's really how you have to approach and look at some of those games, because two on the road, you know, you talk about Chicago, you talk about Cincy, both tough places to play. Both will have, you know, some pretty good quarterbacks. And so can I figure out a way to get one?
Deuce,
go ahead, Mike. Go
Deuce,
ahead.
This is Mike Haas. I do play-by-play with Deuce McAllister on Sundays.
Well, nice introduce nice yourself
you,
again.
Sir. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, nice to talk to you, sir.
Good to see you, my friend. It seems like just obvious, but it's been an issue. So take the Pittsburgh game out. It's a home game, but it's in Paris. So you got eight home games this year with those eight teams had a winning percentage of about 41% last year. 41%, so below 50. And none of the eight that are coming to Caesars Superdome won more than nine games. I know it's important every year, but man, control of Caesars Superdome and winning at home is so important.
Well, the Saints haven't been good at home the last couple of years, though. I mean, and so at some point you have to turn that. And that's just being honest. At some point you have to defend home turf. You know, you always say, hey, can I go 500 on the road? But I've got to be better than 500. I got to be better than 500 at home. You know, there are stretches where you're going, you know, what, 7-1, 8-0 at home? That's what we got to get back to at home. And so it's now where you talk about making the dome where teams fear to come in and play just because they know it's going to be so loud. You got to give the fans something to be excited about. And now I think that you should be able to score points this year. That's excitement. The question is, can you get your defense to play up to the standard that they kind of set last year? I mean, that's going to be some of the questions that you have to be able to answer.
Deuce, the last 3 years, this team is 10 wins, 15 losses at home. That's 40%. You're not winning nothing that way.
Mike, that's
we've
not
seen
good
it.
Enough.
No, that ain't close to being good enough, to be honest. Go ahead, Mike. I think you have another question.
Yeah, you know, and because people, it's easy to fall into the trap of, well, all right, they're fourth place schedule. Sharp analysis says second easiest schedule out there. Well, guess what? New England, Jacksonville, Carolina, Chicago last year, you know, were some of the worst teams coming out of 24. You know, one went to the Super Bowl. So there's no easy games. And if you don't fall into the trap of the second easiest schedule out there.
Nah, I mean, I think, you know, that's good for us to read. That's good for the fans to talk about. But those guys that you're playing with, playing against, they get paid too. And so just because you think that last year, normally that whole roster has been flipped. And so I think I saw Jeff had he put something out on X earlier that you're playing, what, six or seven of the teams that you play in one stretch have new head coaches. So you think that roster hadn't flipped over? I mean, and so when you think of it in that manner, yeah, the team, the name may be the same, and there's probably some familiar players there. You know, we talked about the Giants being one, but those rosters flip, man, and you can't look at it, oh, well, that team was horrible last year. Well, guess what? You weren't that hot either yourself last year, so can you go out and show that you've improved?
You're just to follow up, and then I'll be quiet. You're right, and Jeff, because six of their first eight games will be against new head coaches. Maybe not new to the NFL, but new head coaches or first time ever in the NFL.
Yeah, and I mean, and so now, how do I look at it? How do I scout them? I go in, you know, one of the things that you do is what system have they used prior? And then you try to analyze and say, you know, hey, we can use AI even a little bit of this. Let me see that system with this personnel. And that's how you try to start to prepare for them. But until you get, even if it's preseason games, you really won't know. And then that's where you have to make some adjustments for it. But, I mean, you're going to have your work cut out for you regardless.
Guys, I got to say, I was kind of excited when the Raiders obviously got the first pick in the draft, taking Fernando Mendoza. I was anxious to see him in action this year. But the Saints,
you're going to be watching.
I was going to say, week three in the Dome, I'm going to think we're going to end up seeing Kirk Cousins in there.
Yeah, I think they'll get Kirk Cousins. I mean, that's why they signed him. And, you know, if that game is week 13, yeah, you may see Fernando Mendoza. But week three, I doubt very seriously you see Fernando Mendoza in that game. If it is, it's a couple things. Either we stock it up or they stock it up and they just want to get him some snaps. I mean, so I don't think you're going to see him in that game.
Deuce, one of the things, I know we talked about it around draft time, but you can see how the NFL schedule makers are, the method behind their madness. And they've done this for the past few years. Look at how the Saints end the season, the five games. They play at Carolina, at Tampa. Then they play at home against the Cardinals. They're not in the NFC South. But then they play at Atlanta and then at home against Tampa. They set it up to make it meaningful. And I think they realize if it's, okay, not every division's going to be the same. But in this case of four teams that ain't a heck of a lot of difference between all four, them hitting the tape, so to speak, the football tape all at one time, and those games are meaningful. Four out of the last five games, they play NFC South rivals.
Yeah, we've seen it the last couple of years, them be able to schedule, particularly NFC South like that, and you know it's all division games, and you know if you're the Saints, you want to be humming by then, you know, kind of like you were last year. The thing that you don't want are the injuries, and so that's what you got to be able to try to avoid, early injuries, you know, mid-season and even late. You don't want guys out for the complete year, but the schedule makers, they have this method that they've been using, and you know, I think it's the NFC, the NFC East. Yeah. They play their first games. I think that, you know, the Cowboys and Philly and those teams, their first couple of games are division games. And so it's different for each team on how they approach it. But for NFC South, we've seen that a couple times.
I know you, and I know the second thing you looked at. You looked at the schedule, and then the second thing you looked at is, where are these cold weather games? And you lucked out, baby. You got at Chicago in November and at Cincinnati in November. Could be worse. It ain't going to be warm there, but we're not going to see anything like we saw in Cleveland in 23.
Well, I don't want to see that again, Mike. That was not fun at all in Cleveland. I mean, it's talking about you questioning life decisions about, like, man, is this really what I want to do? And, you know, some people say this is enjoyment. This is not enjoyment. And honestly, I saw the Cincinnati game, but I didn't really put it up to the calendar to be able to say, oh, that's late November. No, that will not be fun. I think it's what, Skyline Chili? I'm not a chili guy, but I may do some Skyline Chili that day.
Yeah, again, November 22nd, Chicago, at Cincinnati, November 29th, and you had the opportunity. You could have played Baltimore later in the season. You got them week two. You could have played the Giants later in the season. You could have played at Carolina, which you do play them December 13th. I mean, you just never know. But for these cold weather games, it could have been worse. We'll have to wait and see what does late November look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be cold. Just get your mind right. It's going to be cold. Get your thermals, get your hunting gear, whatever we got to go and do. And, you know, we got to survive for about 5 hours. After that, we'll be all right back home.
I'm tougher than you are. The cold don't bother me. It's you. I have to take care of you with tea. And
yeah, your blood is thin as well. You've been down south too long.
Deuce, the other thing to me down the stretch, and that week 11 and 12 game because of the quarterback play, Caleb Williams in Chicago, and Big Joe in Cincinnati. And then with Jordan Love, you know, you don't know which one you exactly catch, because some games, man, he looks like a superstar player, and then other games he's rather average. But then after that, down the stretch, you know, Baker Mayfield, I thought had an off season last year, to be honest with you. You play him twice. Who the hell is going to be the quarterback for the Cardinals? You can say is Tua and Michael Penix guys that keep you awake at night. At least you don't catch that gunslinger late from week 14 on, where that one guy can be that much of a difference maker.
Yeah, but Mike, the thing that we've got to do as far as the Saints, you got to put yourself in a position where those games are meaningful.
Yes.
You don't want to be in a position where, hey, I'm just playing the play because I've been eliminated 3 weeks ago. You don't want to be in that position. And so, you know, you've got a tough stretch before your bye week. I'm never a fan. I mean, as a player, yeah, I want it in the middle of the season, but That's still a tough stretch when you go and you've got 7-8 games in a row, and then on the back end it's the same thing. Just because if I'm rolling offensively or defensively, how do I know that we're going to have that same rhythm when we get back? And so now you're looking for that rhythm. And so, you know, hopefully that's not the case with these guys, and they've got good rhythm on both sides of the ball, and they can kind of achieve it again once they get that recharge as far as the breaking concern, and you can go on a roll. I mean, you can roll off 3, 4, 5 wins in a row.
Deuce, that was going to be the question I asked you about the bye week, where it's at, because, and you brought it up, man, if you hot and man, things are rolling and you don't have any injuries, man, you want to continue to play. But, you know, if you're struggling a little bit and you got some injuries, then the bye week, it just, you don't know at this stage to say if it's good or bad to have it almost smack dab in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, but there was a, you know, the team could have said, hey, after the bye week, we want to continue to play, or we want to, you know, we want to have our bye week after Paris. And I wouldn't be surprised. You do play up in New York. I wouldn't be surprised the team, and, you know, obviously I don't know their plans, but wouldn't be surprised one bit from New York you go over to Paris and they're there for the, you know, that's how the Saints have worked previously when they went over to London. They would leave. It would normally be Carolina. You would leave from there and go directly over. So I wouldn't be surprised to leave New York and go directly over to London. I mean, but that's a long time being away from home if you're a player. And, you know, so to have that bye week, Emily, I get to kind of get my body and my mind right for a stretch run. You know, the only thing that I always wondered, even as a player, I think for us, we had it, I think that was 2004. Offensively, we were rolling. 2004, we were rolling. I mean, offensively, we were humming. You had the bye week kind of in the middle of the year, and it took us almost four games to find rhythm again. You know, and it was just it was tough. It was tough, and you know, we ended up not making the playoffs that year. But I mean, just little things like that from a player's perspective, and being in that situation, being yes, you want a break. Your body probably needs a break. But being able to see defenses, being able to understand coverages, and I'm just going out there reacting. You know, I'm seeing it, I'm reacting. I'm not even really thinking about it. It's hard to step away when you're in a groove and you're in a rhythm like that.
Deuce, the other thing, we talked about it here, Mike and I, is that you know, Tyler Shough doesn't have a lot of experience at quarterback. And now all these new pieces with Jordan Tyson, with your first-round pick, and Oscar Delp and Noah Fant, and Travis Achane, and, you know, David Edwards. Would you be surprised they play the starters a little bit more than normal? Because of the fact there's a lot of new pieces of the puzzle, especially on the offensive side of football in the preseason.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, that you get maybe a series or two more, even maybe a quarter or two more with those guys. But here's the thing. You look at those first two games, you're going to have to start solid count. I mean, you are literally this whole offseason, that's got to be the focus. And so whether it's a lot more hand signals, you know, and I know traditionally this offense has played really, really well when it's playing fast, but you may see them play in that manner and have great rhythm. Now, they don't have to get up to the line of scrimmage and snap it in a hurry, but to be able to play fast like that, and whether that's out of 12 or whether that's out of 11 personnel with two tight ends or three receivers, I think you can do it, because those first two games, not to say that it's not going to be loud, but I want to give my quarterback and my weapons every opportunity to not hesitate. I want them to be sure of themselves. I want them to be on the same page. And so there's going to be new looks. There's going to be wrinkles. I mean, everybody does that. Everybody is going to have that. But I still have a young quarterback. Can I give him all of the answers to what he's going to see, or most of what he's going to see, and can he make and get the team into the right play so they can be successful?
Deuce, we were looking at the NFC South a little bit earlier. Curious your thoughts on the rest of the division. Who do you see as the black and gold's biggest threat this year? Atlanta, Carolina, or Tampa?
Hey, look. I was able to look at the Saints' schedule. I hadn't looked at no Tampa and Atlanta and Carolina schedule. But, I mean, if you're being honest, Carolina did win the division.
Yep.
I mean, and so you may not like it or respect it, but somebody's got to knock them off. You know, and I still think Tampa is probably the hottest team. Atlanta is probably the biggest question mark just because of their quarterback situation. They've still got a ton of skill over there. And then, you know, you don't know defensively what they're really going to be like. So for me, you know, I think Carolina probably gets the nod in that situation. But a lot of respect to those other two teams as well.
The other thing, Deuce, and I'll bring this up all the time. The one thing that really jumped out at me at that Falcon team last year, and you're right about uncertainty, and I think along the offensive line too, you lose your right tackle, which is the blind side for either one of the two quarterbacks there. Bijan still is who he is, and you got a stud receiver. The one thing Atlanta could do last year was get after the quarterback. Pressure, sacks. And if you look at the four teams in the NFC South, they probably have the best pressure packages of any of them the way they get after people up front.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing as far as the Saints are concerned. The Saints love where they are with their bookend tackles. Both of those guys, you know, you get one, Fuaga moves back to his natural side, and you got Banks who had an outstanding rookie year. So now the challenge will be for those guys, all right, you've been in this position. How can you get your mind and your body right to be able to last for a complete season? You know, and where I don't need a lot of help from my tight ends, or we're not chipping, you know, just – based off the formation or the backs. And so that's got to be the question mark for the Saints. Can those bookend tackles grow? And then, like you talked about, interior offensive line, yeah, what does that play look like? You know, interior, can you get push in the run game? Can you protect the quarterback interior? And so now he can step up into the pocket when need be. And so, you know, that's just not the NFC South. That's across the board.
Zero games west of the Mississippi this year, except for the preseason. We get to go back to SoFi, my friend. Preseason, the Rams. It can't be a football season without a trip to SoFi.
No hurricanes, we had a hurricane,
earthquake.
We had the locusts come out, we had the earthquake. All on the
hurricane.
Same day.
Yeah.
All on the same day. I mean, we was just waiting for something, but yeah, that's our normal trip, Mike, so look forward to it.
And we'll see. We have to wait and see.
We got
to
call the hotel and tell them that we're coming.
That's right. Well, yeah. I mean, because I'm looking at it, and I know it's way too early, but they play home at Jacksonville, then at the Rams, at Dallas, because I just feel like as a team, and I know nothing, you know, they got – you can't be more efficient than the work they get in Irvine. And whether they are able to go – after Jacksonville, play the Rams, stay there, then play Dallas and come home. I mean, who knows? We'll see. But it will be interesting to see how they do break up camp. But if they break up camp with a trip to Irvine or bring in somebody, Houston, for some practice, it's a lot to be said out there. But I do know that they get some valuable work done in Irvine.
No, it is something that they, you know, we talk about the work that you do. I think the amount of plays that they get in increases as well, just because, you know, the temperature is conducive for you, and it's not conducive for you in New Orleans unless you go inside. And so, you know, it's always a good deal for them. And you talk about the bonding and those guys being able to come together. It's a new squad. And so, you know, we'll just kind of see how it all unfolds and what they do announce, what they do decide to do.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. We'll have a lot more talk about schedule and teams and NFC South later on. But, man, we appreciate your time tonight.
All right. No problem, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you,
thanks
Deuce.
A lot. Deuce McAllister. I think he's right. Said it right off the bat, something you and I talked about, Mike. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's not. That's your second easiest schedule in the NFL? That's your fourth place schedule, second easiest?
Who the hell's playing the toughest if that's the second easiest?
Thank you. No.
That's a
and also,
tough
here's
schedule.
One thing. We didn't really say it because it really, but we will, it's not necessarily who you play.
When
you play them. Yeah. What does Cincinnati, Green Bay, and Chicago look like in late November? Who knows? What do we look like? Can we avoid the injuries? Not so much who you play, when you play them.
Especially along the offensive line, because I think for any team, it's the worst spot, and it's the most injured spot for any team, college and pro football. It's offensive line play. Right. Nobody's got depth.
No.
Nobody's got
it. Hey, look, you can handle injuries. You can handle 7 or 8 injuries. You can't handle positional injuries. And last year, wide receiver, offensive line. And running back, wide receiver, offensive line, running back. I'm sorry, they're kind of crucial, aren't they?
Yeah, especially no matter what, you know, people want to talk about receivers and tight ends and running back. Man, you lose guys up front, that's when you see the Mount Everest drop off. It ain't no next man up.
Give a ton of credit to Tyler Shuck, too. What is he able to do with such limited resources around him, you could
say. That's what I think everybody's intrigued with.
Yes.
Is what he looked like and what he was playing with. That, hey, man, if we get a few more weapons with him, you might really have something here.